I always think Palm Sunday is a really joyful day. The joy of the people as they celebrated the riding into Jerusalem of Jesus on this colt, the foal of a donkey. Joy should characterize us, I feel. We should be joyful. Now, that doesn't mean to say we have to have a sort of like smile on our faces all the time, which can sometimes be artificial. It means that deep contentment and celebration inside of who we are in Christ, to belong to Him, to know Him. And of course, when that is true, that expresses itself. C.S. Lewis said, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." I like that. Joy is the serious business of heaven. Or St. Augustine said, "The Christian should be an hallelujah from head to foot." Everything we do should be an expression of our praise to God, our thanks to God for who He is. I don't know if you've ever heard of a character called Billy Sunday. He was the fellow who was before the advent of Billy Graham and his big crusades. Billy Sunday was a famous basketball player in the States. And then he became a Christian, and then he became a great preacher, and he preached to thousands and thousands. This was 100 years ago, or something like that. And he said, and he was a real character, and a real original kind of fella, original kind of preacher. And I came across this quote: "If you have no joy in your religion, then there must be a leak in your Christianity somewhere." if you've got no joy in your religion, then there's got to be a leak somewhere in your Christianity. And we come to this day of sheer joy. And to enter into the joy and the excitement of Palm Sunday, I want to take you in your mind's eye to this little village of Bethphage, just on the outskirts of Jerusalem, just near Bethany. Small village, just one main street, and there on the sort of bend in the main street, there's this house. And outside in the street, there's this donkey and its colt tethered. And the people who own the donkey, let's call them husband and wife, they are outside. And to enter into what's happening at this time, if we could place ourselves in that street, I mean, there's an air, before anything happens, there's an air of excitement. It's Passover week. This is the biggest week of the year. This is the time when everybody comes up to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. The place is thronged with pilgrims. This is a wonderful time of the year. This is a time when they celebrate that they are free. Once they were slaves, but now they are free. And they are in their homeland. The land that God gave them, the land that God promised them. They are there, and it's a time of celebration when they remember what God has done for them. And this is Passover week, and there's people sort of, you there and everywhere, doing different things, getting ready, preparing. Every family had to prepare an offering for Passover, according to their means. And there's this excitement in the air. You can almost smell it. It's a wonderful time. But this year, it's more exciting than ever. Why? Just down the road, last week, even perhaps a few days ago, down the road just a couple of days ago, Lazarus was brought back to life. It's the subject of every conversation. People are talking about it. Is it true? Well, go to Bethany and see for yourself. He's there. He's with his family. He's alive. But did he really die? Yes, he was in the grave for 4 days. He's alive. He's alive. And how did it happen? Well, you've heard of this Jesus, haven't you? Jesus came. And out of darkness and sorrow and death, he brought life. Is it true? Well, there it is. The facts speak for themselves. And then somebody will say, well, this is amazing, but did you hear about what happened in Jericho? What happened in Jericho? Well, the same man, Jesus, he went into Jericho. And there seemed to be crowds wherever he goes. There was crowds everywhere. And then there was, I hate to mention his name. He's loathed by the people. He's a traitor, he's a turncoat. He wanted to see Jesus. And he climbed a tree. So you could get a better look, because he's only a short little man. He climbed a tree to see him. And would you believe it? Jesus came and he said, hey, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house for tea. And Jesus met with Zacchaeus. And this terrible character, the one who stole and robbed even those closest to him. Do you know what? His life has been transformed. His life has been transformed. In fact, after tea, do you know what he said? I'm going to give half of everything I have to the poor. And if I've defrauded anybody, I'll pay them back 4 times as much. Can you imagine being on the street in Bethphage when all this is going on and people are talking, and on top of the annual excitement, people are talking. And there was so much more they could talk about. I've just picked out 2, but this is an amazing time. And then in the midst of all this, these 2 strangers come in. And they go up to the post where this colt and its mother were tethered, and they loose it and they start to walk away. Can you imagine if you was the owner now? Right? If you were standing outside your house, right? If you were standing outside your house and you're chatting to the neighbours and you say, well, what do you think? What do you think about this and what do you think about that? And are you ready for the weekend? Blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden these 2 strangers come up. And they jump into a car. Oi, what are you doing? What are you doing? Jesus needs it. And we'll bring it back. But we need to, for a short time, we need to borrow your colt. Now, be in that position, right? It's you now. You are the owner of that colt. You stand there and you say to yourself, do I believe it? Do I believe that this is a word from Jesus, that he wants to borrow my colt? And do I believe it that he'll return it to me? What would you do? And they said, okay, take it. Take it. And they took the colt.
And the rest, as we followed the story in Matthew chapter 11, a story that is recorded in all the Gospels, the excitement and the joy and the celebration and the blessing that resulted because they gave. They heard, they believed, and they gave. And see, this theme keeps reoccurring right through the Gospels. The wise men heard, and they believed, and they gave, and they rejoiced. The little boy with his 5 loaves and 2 fish heard, and he gave. And there were 5,000 smiling faces because he gave. The little widow woman going down to the temple, clutching her 2 little farthings. But they were all that she had, but she gave. And she went down to her house, blessed. Zacchaeus gladly received the Lord. And he gave. And he was blessed. And Joseph of Arimathea gave his garden tomb for Jesus to be buried. And the joy of resurrection. How does this challenge me this morning? How does it challenge us? Why should we give? And I'm not talking about material, although that might be included. I'm not talking about tangible things. I'm talking about of ourselves, to give oneself. Why should we give? I read these scriptures. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Romans 8:32. Why should we give? Why shouldn't we give in the light of what he has given to us? He's given to us everything. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? What should we give? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to give yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Jesus still comes to us and he says, will you give? Will you give me your time? Will you give me your talents? Will you give me your abilities? Will you give me yourselves? Will you offer yourselves as an ongoing sacrifice of praise and worship? And how should we give? Last verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 9. Listen to this. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The promise is there that as we give, we receive. That's an outcome of it. You don't give to receive, but in the giving, you are blessed. In the Greek, it's exactly the same word. To give and to receive. It means in giving, you are blessed. In giving, you will receive. It is far more blessed to give than to receive. So this man standing outside his house, probably with his wife, and along comes this message. The Lord needs. And he gives. And he's part of this exciting story now. He's part of Palm Sunday because he gave. And the Lord calls us each one to be part of this exciting story that is the gospel. And one day the story will be finished. It will be complete. And it will be history recorded in God's book. And amazingly, in the book, it will be written, and in 2015, in Greystones Presbyterian Church. Yeah, we were reminded again to give generously, to give of ourselves, that we would be a daily expression of praise and glory to God. We heard the message. I pray that as we read the story in coming days, we say, thank God that we believed it. And he gave us the grace to accept it and to do it for his glory. May it be so, for his sake. Amen.